Hello again. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. This is World Pastor Tony Alamo, and today we're going to be continuing on in reading the fifth and sixth chapters of Matthew, the Beatitudes, which tells us the right way, where Jesus is sitting on the mount and his disciples are there, and he's teaching them the right way to live. And he's teaching them to depend on God. Now, there's so many people in the world that are dependent on drugs, alcohol. These things are destructive dependencies. They're also dependent on pornography and lusts of every kind. The Bible states that if we're not dependent upon the Lord, then our eyes are on the world, and the Lord says, love not the world. And we have to depend on him for finances. I know I do. I've got a big organization that needs that is dependent on the Lord's ability to anoint me and to give me spiritual benediction and spiritual words to say to people that their souls might be saved and that their souls would be lifted up. And for doing this and giving out to others, the Lord gives back, because you can never outgive God. The Lord keeps, if I give money, if this church gives money to different ministries that are doing something for the Lord, the Lord always multiplies it back 100 times. But a lot of people think that they can give without depending on the Lord for their finances and for their good health and for just everything. You know, when we depend upon the Lord and we're not depending on others, a lot of wives depend on their unsaved husbands, and a lot of husbands depend on their unsaved wives. Let me ask you something. If you get sick, is there anything, if you get sick unto death, is there anything that your unsaved husband or unsaved wife can do for you, or your buddies or your girlfriends? Are they going to be able to heal you if you have been told by your doctor that you've got a month or two or a few days to live? There's anything that will seem satisfactory to you so far as being able to relax, because you can't depend on human beings, because they're just made out of the dirt of the ground. And the Lord came into the world and created us. That's one of the major things of the Bible, is creation. And then number two is the fall of humanity through Eve and Adam. And then number four was resurrection, which came with the Lord Jesus Christ. And number four was that is the judgment. We're going to, if we don't resurrect from our dead works and dead lives, we're depending on our university, our teachers, false teachers, false preachers. You're dependent on all kinds of things. The stock market. Yeah, you're dependent on, you know, the bank for giving you dividends or whatever, and other investments. And yet, banks have folded up during the Depression, and people were broken on the streets and in soup lines because they depended on those things. A lot of people depend on the sun, the moon, the stars, and they like to go to resorts. But we have tsunamis, and they wanted to see the waves coming in, so they rushed towards the waves instead of running away from them, and they all died. And then earthquakes. You cannot, if you live a life that is not depending solely on the Lord to keep you and your loved ones, well, there could be an earthquake that would happen and destroy you. Your house could collapse on you. It has many other people. I've heard 70,000 of them just a few weeks ago. Not many weeks, maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago. And so it's just happened many, many times. Hundreds of millions of people have been killed because they depended on airplanes, on automobiles. They depend that the people that are driving towards you in automobiles are sane people, and that they're not on drugs or they're depending on drugs and booze, and some of them are mental, some of them are suicidal, and they want to go out to eternity, and they figure the best way to go is to crash into you. And if you're dependent on the Lord will warn you of these things. And there's all kinds of household things that happen. I've heard that there are more deaths in the house every year than there was in the entire World War II. Little children running through the house, and they trip and fall, and they hit their head on a chair or a piece of iron or a stove or a refrigerator, and they go out into eternity. So, you know, when we depend upon the Lord, His Word, we know that we're to raise our children and to teach them and watch them, watch over them, because the Lord teaches us to do these things. So we'll be talking about the third verse in the book of, fifth chapter of the book of Matthew, tells us that God blesses those who realize their need for Him. In other words, their dependency on Him. So if you're not being blessed, it's because that you don't depend on the Lord. Your mind is on something else. Actually, what it is that your mind is on the things of the world, the cares of the world. That's the people that are sown among thorns. That's the third class. They're preoccupied with the things of the world. Four classes of people, those that are unresponsive. In other words, they don't respond. They don't believe that it's necessary to depend on the Lord. And then there's some that immediately believe that they should, and they're impulsive, and they rise up, and a little bit of persecution comes, and say, forget about this. I'm not going to depend on the Lord. I'm going to just go back to my old way of life, because I never was persecuted, nor did I have this torment from Satan before I was saved, and so I'm just going to go and do what the devil tells me to do. I'm just going to go ahead and let the good times roll. So those are impulsive people. And then there is the preoccupied ones. Those are the ones that, this is in the parable of the sower, where he sows among thorns, the seed falls among them, and these are the ones that are preoccupied with the cares of the world and so on. Then there's some of us that, whether we have, no matter where we are when we had received the seed, at the time that I received the seed, I was in the entertainment industry, and I was considered the number one promotional person in the industry. I was doing promotions for the Beatles, and the Beatles wanted me to do their entire, they wanted me to manage them. And there are a couple of Beatles still alive, and they could be asked very easily. The Rolling Stones wanted me to do their management for them and their promotion, because they saw the promotion I did for Bobby Jameson in the Billboard magazines. And even the whole Democratic Party wanted me to do promotions for them, because they knew that I had a unique style of promoting things that would stick in people's minds. I used to say stick in their brains like the hair in a drain. And that was, but then when I realized that God was really there, the supernatural experience that I had with Him, I could no longer depend on my own ability any longer, because I saw that He was able to take the breath out of my body. And He was telling me that He would kill me if I didn't say that the Lord Jesus Christ was talking to me and telling me that I should tell the people in this office that Jesus is coming back to earth again, and that I should tell them that they need to repent. He was telling me, I knew that if I didn't do that, that I would really, I could depend on the Lord, because He started pulling the breath in and out of me. And I could depend that what He was saying was the truth, because I felt Him pull my life out of my body. You talk about a half out-of-body experience, and then back in again, back and forth, like He was playing with my soul like it was a yo-yo. And I really depended on that. I had to say what I had to say. And I just pray that God will give you similar experiences like that, so that you'll know without a doubt that He is God, and that He wants you to be dependent on Him. I depend on the Lord for every breath I take. I know that if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't even be breathing another second from now. Because the Lord can take the breath out of your body in just a nanosecond and cast your soul into hell in a nanosecond. That's 100 millionth of 1 second is a nanosecond. All right? And so, you know, people really need to listen to the Word of God, because God's Word says that the Word is God. So when you hear the Word of God, that's God talking to you. And you may not have a supernatural experience like I did to prove to you that God is really does exist and that He really wants you to depend on Him. But He said, blessed are those that believe and have not seen. I have seen. I've actually even seen the Lord Jesus Christ appear before me with my eyes wide open, and I was wide awake. And that's when I was a very young man. I was in my early 30s. And He appeared right in front of me, and in an oval-shaped mirror with gold trim around it, lit up the whole room. It was the darkest room I'd ever been, and you couldn't even see your hand before your face. So, and then I've had many other visions, dreams, signs, and wonders from Him. And the Lord tells me that I was pretty good at promotion, and He says, I want you to go out and convince the world, sell them me. And He said, if you don't, He says, then do it with all your heart and soul. And that's why when the world government, the Antichrist, the people of Rome, and the people that are involved in the Roman Catholic Church, like most of the judges are today, a lot of them are, I'm not saying that everyone is, that's why they, and the government agents, prosecutors, and all sorts of people that are not saved, they... Satan used them to put me in prison for 4 years on false charges, and Satan got into a bunch of the people that were in this church that were gloriously saved at one time, and they fell away. And that's I've seen so much of that. I know they were gloriously saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, and that's why I hear these false preachers teaching that you can't fall away, that once you're saved, it's impossible for you to fall away. I know that they're false prophets, because the Bible tells you, even in the Beatitudes here, and in the book of Revelations, He said He'll spit you out of His mouth. Now, this is the Lord Jesus Christ talking about spitting, and it just really shows that Jesus is down to earth. He's not, and He talks real plain, and He's down to He shows us that He's one of us, really down to earth. I'll spit you out of my mouth. That means out of my body. You won't have eternal life again. He talks also that He'll blot your name out of the Lamb's Book of Life. But there's letters to read here today, and we've got some scriptures to read. And so right now let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask Him to anoint outwardly this service. And that we pray, Father God, that You'll heal all the sick and afflicted in the church that have flus and colds, and all those, Lord, that have dependencies on little clicky groups that they have instead of being dependent on You. They lean on each other, and they know that there isn't. They get a lot of joy out of some people in different churches. You see them doing all kinds of things. They're dependent on things that are destructive. All dependencies other than You are destructive dependencies. If we depend on You, we will be blessed with every kind of blessing there is, including financial. Whenever I see people that don't have enough finances, it's all either because they're not at all dependent, they don't trust the Lord to give them finances, and they're not doing the work of the Lord. There's so many preachers that say, Father, that if, and I didn't tell you, I'm just saying this for the people in Radio Land and the people in this congregation. They say that if you just send money, God will bless you. That is the farthest things from the truth. The Lord saved our souls. The Lord created this world and created man so that He could have many sons. He was Father, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And the Lord said that it's not good for the man to live alone. So he created a helpmate for that man. Because the man is not to be alone. He needs a helpmate. And it's not good. Then, the same token, it seems that God, it's the same thing with you. It's not good that you are alone. You have the angels, but you want people that have gone through the fire here on earth and that trust in you, because one-third of the angels in the kingdom of heaven were cast out. You have fellowship with them, but none of them willingly went through trials and tribulations and all the things that we have to go through here. And they're not washed in the blood of Jesus, and not one of them have you living in them. Not one of them have you ever called a son of God. And for those of us that depend on you solely because we know you're our Father, you have called us sons of God. And a lot of these preachers say that we're still sinners. How could we be sons of God and still be sinners? Once you have washed our sins away, we become sons of God. Those of us that now take up our cross and deny ourselves and on a daily basis and follow you, we take up our cross and we depend on you for everything, our food, our air, if we need finances, you in some miraculous way do it. If we're keeping your commandments, and when your spirit, the fullness of the Godhead bodily, is living in us, then we're able to do all the things that you want us to do because we're led by your spirit. It isn't really us that's doing the things. It's the work of God. It's you, Father, Lord Jesus, with the Father by the Spirit in us that leads, guides, and directs us. Yes, we are yoked together with you in work, in good works. We're the continuation of your good works when you were here on earth. You were solely dependent on the Father, and we must also be solely dependent on the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You three are our comforter. And you teach us these things, and we think it is absolutely marvelous because there are so few people on earth that are teaching these things. We're sons of God. We're not sinners. And people that don't believe that, they're not depending on your word to materialize in them for power. Now, people call it grace, but it's by your power that we're able to be more than conquerors. It's your power that causes us to be perfect. And you command that we be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect, Father. And therefore, perfection is that we are walking in your Spirit, that we are no longer sinning. Now, we people that sin ignorantly, little sins, they are forgivable. But these people say that it's all right no matter what you do. Like the mafia, they go to this Catholic cult, they can go out and kill as many people as they want at nighttime, Father, then come in and say a few Hail Marys and Our Fathers and light a few candles and give some money to the priest, and oh, they're forgiven. But there's nothing but your precious blood that can forgive sins. Money cannot forgive sins. Lighting of candles cannot forgive sins. Saying Hail Mary is an abomination. Also, saying Our Fathers is not going to take away sin. Spanking somebody is not going to take away sin. Spankings are for discipline. And there's so many other ways to discipline people before we have to resort to spankings. And that a lot of people do repent when you do that. And so, Lord, this is your word that says to do these things, to implement them, and they in this world today have made your righteous word sin. They say that which is evil is good, and that which is good, which is your word, your instructions to immortality, to eternal life, in dependency on what you say. We have to depend on everything you say. Everything you say, Father, or we in no wise can enter the kingdom of God. So we ask that you anoint this service, open the minds, the hearts, and the souls of everyone in Radio Land. Lift up the church and save as many souls as it is your will to save, Father. Hallelujah. And we ask it in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right. Praise the Lord. Now, where's the first letter from?
From Kumasi, Ghana, Africa. Dear Pastor Alamo, Calvary greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you greatly for sending me such important books that will enable me to be a good Christian. And may our Almighty Father bless you in Jesus' name. I am sorry for the delay of this letter because it was due to circumstances beyond my control. And that is, I was in school when your letter came. In fact, I am benefiting a lot from your books, more in particular the Messiah and the literature. And those that I have given out are also doing a miracle in the lives of the people by repenting them from their sins. I really enjoy your preaching on the cassette to an extent that I would be grateful to attend your programs if possible. I really love everything from a powerful man of God like you, Pastor Tony. In view of that, I would be delighted to receive the t-shirt and sweatshirt, and my size is extra large and black color. I would also like a prayer from you because I want to reach as far as you have reached in the Lord and also be a powerful man of God. I would like to end here with much greetings to you and your ministries. God bless you. Francis from Kumasi, Ghana, Africa.
Praise the Lord. Just be dependent on every word that proceeds from the mouth of the living God and worship only Him. Don't be clicking off or worshiping little girls or little boys or old men or old women, but worship God. And Him alone shall you worship, because worshiping anything else is of the devil. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, depending on anyone else but the Lord is of the devil. And, I mean, it's not going to hurt God. It's so many people say, oh, God's just crying when somebody's just raising hell in the world. Yeah, he's not crying. He's just looking at you with disgust. Okay? Mm-hmm. I don't know a kind of God that just like they try to make a homosexual out of him or some kind of a Camille or something that he's standing in the corner somewhere crying. I don't know a God like that. I know a God that threatens people like he did every prophet. He told Ezekiel, he says, now you tell the people out in the world, and he told Tony the same thing. Go tell them, and if you don't, he says, then all their sins will be on you, and you're going to go to hell. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now that's what he says. God is a God that threatens. And if you don't, he's totally disgusted. He says, I take no pleasure in you. And he doesn't say he's going to bawl his eyes out either, or throw himself on a couch and kick and cry. You people have been taught the wrong God. They're talking about some whimpering, namby-pamby idiot. There's no such God as that. All right? There's no such God as that. Praise the Lord. Then what?
The next letters.
Or they take one scripture out of the Bible where it says Jesus wept. And that was it. And that he cried, praying so fervent that there's blood came out of him. But that was a powerful thing that he was going to have to endure. But in anyone after he endured all that, that just thumbs their nose at him, he's not crying over you. He prepared a place, he enlarged hell for you. Okay? The Lord says that there's so much sin in this world today that he has to enlarge hell. He broadened it out to capacitate everybody that's going to be there. Because we have came out here and preached the gospel, and we have the Son has taken so much punishment, and so did all the prophets. And so did all the apostles. They were crucified and their heads chopped off for bringing the gospel. And we've been tossed in prison, and I have no doubt, unless God takes me some other way, I mean, I'm willing to be a sacrifice for him in any way that he likes, if he'll allow it. But so far, I'm still here. This is going on my 42nd year. I've been in the ministry. That's longer than Moses. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
He was in the ministry for 40 years. He could have went further if he didn't disobey God. And so it even shows that a man like Moses that wrote the first five books of the Bible, that God used him in such a tremendous way to lead the people out of Israel and the Lord opened the Red Sea for him and all the people of Israel. And he killed them all. Does that sound like somebody that's weeping over the sin? He got so angry at them that he opened up the earth and swallowed a bunch of them into hell live. Does that sound like a weeper?
No.
No. So, I mean, the ones that depended on the Lord got to go into the promised land. Amen?
Amen.
And were very faithful to keep the commandments. And those are the only ones that are going in the promised land up in the kingdom of heaven. You'll get to go if you depend only on the Lord. I mean, and that means to depend on every word that proceeds out of mouth, his mouth of the living God, that is the word of God. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now continue on. Where's the next letter? Did you finish this letter?
Yes, only okay. Last one.
Okay.
From Accra, Ghana, Africa. Dear Pastor Tony, grace and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is to come again. Your children in West Africa, Ghana, in the Buburim refugee camp, extend their regards to you and the rest of the others in Christ Jesus. We are very much grateful to God Almighty for using you and your ministries to be a blessing to us and other kids like us. It was not by mistake we came across your ministries, and God touched your heart to be able to talk about us to the other Christians in your ministries.
You see, now, did you ever notice that I don't preach a different gospel to children than I do adults? And here's a bunch of kids that got saved. Jesus never preached any different gospel to children than he did the adults. And here you see these people starting. Here's the TV channel, it's especially for kids, you know, and you got them dancing around like a bunch of maniacs. There's nothing in the Word of God that says for you to do that. That is such heresy, it's incredible. They ought to close that whole thing to God, ought to close that whole thing down, for God's sake. That's so unscriptural, it's unbelievable. Here's a whole bunch of kids getting saved from my rough, tough gospel, just like they did from Jesus.
Amen.
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 He rebuked people right in front of those kids. He said, don't forbid them to come over to me the way I am. I don't have a second or third or fourth gospel for these kids. He said, before such is the kingdom of heaven, they believe the word. And they have these little Sunday school classes so it won't hurt their little pea-picking hearts, their little cotton-picking hearts. Now, you know something, my kids all, and all the kids in this church get the real gospel. We don't teach, they don't even know who Santa Claus is, all right? And they don't know anything about this heretical gospel they have for kids, which is no gospel at all. Okay, go ahead.
You did the right thing by bringing us to Christ, and now today many have come to receive and know Jesus personally. We are growing today in numbers. A lot of children have joined the children's ministry I and my little sister have opened in your name. Our members have grown today to 93 persons, including two other people who are advising us as well. We appreciate you all very much for God using you to be a blessing to Liberian refugee children. We are kindly asking to please increase the money you are sending us, that through us many may be able to have good water and food to eat, that they will be able to give glory to the name of God. We don't have any food and drinking water right now. If we drink bad water, we will get sick, and that will lead us to the hospital. We are also asking you to please send Bibles, clothing, bath soap, shoes, washing soap, and including some others, Christian items that will enable us to win souls to Christ Jesus. God richly bless all of you, and I hope to hear from you all. By the grace of God, stay blessed continually and also be favored in Jesus' mighty name. Faithfully yours, Harding from Accra, Ghana, Africa.
Praise the Lord. You know, if people out there in Radio Land would tithe into us big time, we'd send several different, because there are people that we send to money to, literally tens of thousands of dollars, and that's our own money that we earn. We make our money. And the very few tithes come in because most people believe the heresies. But if any of you people really want to be blessed by God, I mean, do a work for him and tithe over here so that we can send plane loads of food and clothes and soap, and so that we can put some water wells over there ourselves. Now, the ministries that we tithe to, these kids don't know anything about them. But they know about us, and if you'll send the money over here unto the Lord. I know for sure, you know, if you read one of my pieces of literature when I first got saved called Biting the Bullet, I'll make sure the money gets over there and the food and everything that they're asking for. But, you know, it takes a lot of money to run this work. We spend our own money, about $250,000 a week. And so if you... and sometimes it's a little more. We had to buy a bunch of steel buildings just the other day, and we're having them erected to put in another school. I'm the president of the American Association of Non-Denominational Christian Schools, where we school all kinds of children, black and white, yellow, anybody, yellow, red, brown, beige, whatever color they are. And so send in some finances and we'll help these kids, because a lot of them are living in cold and they don't have enough to eat and they don't have any decent drinking water. And we can definitely take care of that for sure if the money's in. And we'll send something over there to them for sure. But it needs, I'm sure, you know, what we need is a lot more than what we have. You help us out. You can do it. All right, now we're going to start continue on with the book of Beatitudes. Now, if you want to be blessed, the Lord says, God blesses those who are persecuted for his name's sake, because they live for God. Are you living for God? Or are you depending on somebody else or something else in your life? Are you hooked on something other than God? What good is that going to do you at the judgment bar of God? Get unhooked, amen?
Amen.
And you can just by getting into God's rest. Get into his rest, his Sabbath, and then you'll all the things that you're hooked on will be gone, and then you'll just be hooked on the Lord. There's nothing wrong with being hooked on the Lord, amen?
Amen.
All right, where are we at now? Verse 40 or 41?
41.
All right.
And whosoever...
Now, this is the fifth chapter of Matthew, verse 41. All right, go ahead.
And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain.
Okay, now, depend on the Lord when he tells you to do that. How many Christians really do that? If somebody, if a person from... the Lord says for us to give to whoever asks. Amen?
Amen.
So that's how many people do that depend on that? See, if we keep all the commandments, then that means we're depending on the Lord, and he's going to really shower down blessings upon you like never before. Why? Because the Lord did that. Everybody that came to him for healing, he healed them. If they wanted bread or something to eat, he broke the bread, loaves of bread and the fish, and gave it to them. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what?
Verse 42.
Give you do the same thing. What else?
Give to him that asketh thee.
See? Give to him. He doesn't say, well, what about if it's our enemy? The Lord says, whoever. Amen?
Amen.
Because that'll convict them and cause them to maybe want to be a servant of the Lord as well. Okay? You're the very one that could trigger to throw a person's soul by just and make them believe that the church you're going to is not of the Lord. If they ask you for something and say, why? What have you ever done for me? Or why should I give to you? You did something to me before. But the Lord says, it says, hate those that do evil unto you. But now the New Testament says, bless those that do evil unto you. Amen?
Amen.
And so this is, you have to depend on that as being the truth. And when you do, and pray for those that despitefully use you and persecute you, pray for them. And you'll see God will start blessing you like you've never been blessed before. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, now read that line again.
Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away.
Now, I mean, when you know when you're borrowing something to somebody, 99 chances, especially if it's a poor person, you're not going to get it back. Somebody is borrowing something from you, it's the same thing as you're giving it to them. Amen?
Amen.
And not expecting to get anything back. You're giving it to them in the name of the Lord, and don't worry, the Lord will give it back to you. 100-fold. Amen?
Amen.
All right? We don't turn anybody away. All right? Then what?
Verse 43. Ye have heard that it hath been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. Verse 44. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you.
Now, it's not talking about carnal love, but it's talking about a spiritual love here. Carnal love, a lot of people think love is sex. That isn't the love at all. The Bible tells us in the epistles of John that love is the keeping of God's commandments. In other words, if your enemy asks for something to eat, give it to them. That's loving them. Amen?
Amen.
And give them the word of God. Teach them how to be saved. So, I mean, you know, to keep these principles of the Lord, these commandments, means that, Lord, I'm dependent on you. Now, I know this guy hates me, but he's asked me for something, so I'm going to give it to you. And I'm depending on you that you're going to bless me, because it said, blessed are those, okay, that depend on you. Amen?
Amen.
Because they're followers of you. Followers of you, it means that you're going to do what he says. Now, this is the infallible word of God. This happens to be God himself. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, now keep going.
Do good to them that hate you.
Oh, my goodness. Do good to them. Well, if they come to your door and ask them, we had a bunch of people out here in one of the areas where we have a church, and they took, some of the boys had a grocery store open, and they took their license, so they cut their water off, and so the health department came in and said, you have to close the store. And so immediately there was a lot of perishables, so we called the company up that they bought them from, and the brothers asked them if they could give them back to them. They said, well, we have to give you a discount, 30% off or something for restocking and everything. And so they had to take that, and the grocery store was shut down. Of course, you know, this ministry was not dependent on that little old grocery store, but still in all, there came a storm, an ice storm, and the whole town was just cut off from electricity and power, all kinds of power. Like, even they couldn't get water in their houses. And this went on for I don't know how many days. And finally, I got fed up with it. We had power because we had a generator outside of our house. And we had lights. We were the only one in town that had lights. We built our own swimming pool out there for the kids to swim, and I don't like to swim myself. So we had to, even the flush toilets, go out into the swimming pool there and grab buckets full of water and drag them into the house and throw them in the toilet bowl and then flush it down. And this guy went on so long that I got sick and tired of it, and I said, Lord, what do we do? And so I called the mayor's office, and the mayor's wife told me, well, he's out looking for a generator. I said, well, what for? She said, because if we had a generator, we could pump the water into people's houses, but there's little children that are sick and old people that are, like, ill, and children need to be bathed, and the old folks do too, and nobody else, I don't think, even has a swimming pool in this town but us. And so I said, what do I do, Lord? He says, he's looking for a generator. I said, he can't find one? And she said, no. And I asked the Lord, do you want me to find one? He said, yes. So I said, I'll get you a generator, because I knew when the Lord said yes. Now, these were our enemies, this whole town. They wanted us out of town, and they had heard all kinds of different things about us. But God said he'd bless those that are persecuted for his name's sake. Amen?
Amen.
And so, for those that are followers of the Lord. And so I said, okay, Father. So I sent the brothers out to look for a generator in Dallas, and they found one there. And it was $5,000 a week. And I said, Lord, now this is you, right? You want me to go ahead and bless them in this town that said they want to drum us out of town, and they just think we're a cult, because we're not the same religion as they. We're like born-again Christians. And they're not. They're prejudiced. They hate us because we have blacks in our church, and we have Hispanics and other people. And he said, yes, do it. You overcome evil by doing good. So I went and ordered the thing. And so I called up the mayor's office. I said, your husband can come home. He was in Little Rock. I said, we found a generator. Well, how big is it? I said, well, you know, it's so big that it has to be loaded. They have to load it on a flatbed truck to bring it over here. And they told us that it could give power to an entire town. It's five. I didn't tell her how much it was. But we went ahead and got it. And the next day, we had it dragged over to over to where the water was, where the pump was, and they hooked it up, and here are all these farmer-type guys dressed up with their bib overalls on, and they had their arms around each other and standing in the newspaper, and they took pictures of it, that the whole town is lit up now, and there's water, and the kids have all the water and everything. And all of a sudden, that hit the newspapers, and I, before the Lord, I never asked for it at all. I never solicited that, but here all of a sudden, there was a guy on the from the newspaper called up on the phone and said, did you pay, get this generated for these people out here after what they did? I said, why did you do that? I said, because the Lord says to love those. Your enemies, those that are hate you and everything, that despitefully use you. Now, a whole lot of those town people are coming to our church. And they're very favorable to us, and not only those, but the people all throughout the general area, through Texarkana and all the little towns around the area, because it was in the newspaper. And so it just goes to show that what the Lord says works. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so read that one again.
But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you.
Wasn't that a blessing to them that didn't have any water or lights or electricity to heat the place up or to get their air conditioning and heating going?
Yes,
it was. Yes, and they were our enemies. Truly, they were. They wanted to. Some of them said they wanted to kill us. Now we're like the fair-haired boys in town, you know, because we just did. We believe what the Lord said, and they believe we're of the Lord. There's nobody that doubts that around here. Okay, then what?
Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you.
Well, we prayed for them too. And the Lord honored that. He blessed us because we followed what he said. How do you follow the Lord? You follow these instructions. That's following the Lord. Okay? Some people visualize him as a spirit walking around, that you have to follow a spirit. Well, nobody's going to locate that spirit. The spirit is inside you. And the word that you're reading here is spirit, and it is life, Jesus said. Amen?
Amen.
So if you're a follower of the Lord, follow what he's saying here, and you'll find out that all your troubles will go away. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what? And now they're asking us, would you open a store? And I says, there's already a store in town, you know, like, you, go ahead, you sell the fruit and vegetables and all that stuff. We weren't really dependent on that either. We just mainly opened it because we could get food wholesale for the multitude of people that we feed every day. And also there's people from this area that come for food boxes at our church all the time, and we just give it to them because they have children, and the Lord wants us to give to the poor. Amen?
Amen.
And whether they're enemies or not, friends or enemies. Okay, go ahead.
Verse 45, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven.
Yeah, because the Father blesses those in this world. He gives them air and sunshine and rain and all these things. And so why shouldn't we? If we're, he wants us to be like him, so we have to do that too. All right, then what?
For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Verse 46, for if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same?
Okay, you know, publicans were the Jews that started collecting taxes for the Romans, and they were hated by the Jews back then because they were tax collectors, and and not for the Jews, but for the Roman Jewish people that were Catholics. They turned Catholic on the Jews, and so the people hated him. Matthew was one of them. He quit being a publican and came with Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
And his writings is what we're reading right now. He's writing down what the Lord said to do, to follow him with these words, all right? And what?
Verse 47.
What good it is to read the Bible if you don't read it and do what it says? It's amazing how everything, if you do it, the Lord says, it brings about peace. In the area that you live, there could be so much hatred for you and so much animosity, and people want to just stone you to death and kill you. And then all of a sudden, God causes a catastrophe, and then he uses you to get them out of it with love and concern, and to show the love of God, you know, that you do what the Lord says. Amen?
Amen.
A lot of people actually cried when they saw what we had done. They came up bawling and, you know, wanting to say, you people really are of the Lord. Nobody would have done what you did after what they've done to you. I said, oh, yes, they would. Any Christian would. Wouldn't they? How about you out there in radio land? Okay, come on, let's keep going.
Verse 47, and if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others?
Yeah, everybody, you know, says hi to their friends. But how many people say, hello, how are you today, to their enemies, huh? Well, we're afraid that they'll just reject us and stick their tongue out at us or something, or thumb their nose at us. Well, you're not to worry about that. You're just to be obedient to the Lord and depend that he'll bless you if you do. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
Do not even the publicans so? Verse 48. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect.
There it is right there. Jesus, God come in the flesh, is commanding you to be perfect. And these people today say, no one's perfect. Oh, yes, you are. And they say, we're sinners. We're all sinners. You may be a sinner, but I'm not. I'm a son of God, okay? And I'm walking in the Spirit, and therefore I am perfect, according to God. You say, you mean to say you don't make mistakes? God, just I keep walking in the Spirit, and, you know, I'm sure I probably don't comb my hair right every day, or, you know, I might offend somebody by something that I say of the Lord, but it isn't me that's offending them, it's the Lord that I preach. And if I reprove and rebuke people, sometimes I, you know, will get a dirty look or something like that, but that's on them. Because I'm trying to spare their souls. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
That was the end of the chapter.
But there's chapter 6. Keep it going.
Verse 1.
This is still the continuation of the Beatitudes.
Take heed that ye do not your alms before men, to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven.
Yeah, a lot of people give finances, and then they just love to tell, you know, this, all that, and so on and so forth. They just love to boast about it constantly. We say what we do to let you know that we're of the Lord, but we don't just, you know, blow a trumpet like that all day long and all night long and boast about it. But we're telling you what to do, and we're telling you that you're robbing God if you don't tithe to him. And if you think that this is a work that is of the Lord, well, then you better tithe. Amen?
Amen.
If you find a better work, then tithe to them. Okay? Do it. And do it quickly, because if you need to be blessed, and I believe everybody needs to be blessed, then what?
Verse 2. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Verse 3. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. Verse 4. That thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly.
Right. The Lord blesses you if you follow those instructions. Now I'm going to call Michelle here and read a little bit of the track. We're going to try to finish that piece of literature. And the name of this literature is what?
God taught me the secret of spiritual defense.
And that is spiritual power. By doing what the Lord says, that gives you the power, okay? So let's try to get some of this done today.
Jesus promised that he would send the Comforter, God's power, into every Christian who would keep his commandments.
Yeah, that would depend on him. Depend on his word that it's true. If you believe that it's true, then you're going to bless your enemies. Amen?
Amen.
And you also bless even more the household of faith. Okay, then what?
Giving them power and dominion over all the aforementioned things. Every believer throughout every age is able to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. The Almighty God would never leave his dear children without his power, his life living in them.
They call it, the power is grace, but, it's actually power is what grace means. Not undeserved favor, like the false prophets say. Then what? Because it's not undeserved, it is deserved. The power that you have, if you're a son of God, you deserve it by doing what the Lord says. All right? Because He blesses those that do that. But He says He doesn't bless you if you don't. So everything with God is conditional. He does not love you or bless you unconditionally. Okay, then what?
Why would Christ leave us without power, especially in these last days, the most wicked days of all time? His very intention is to live in man, whom he created in his own image and likeness, to do his bidding throughout every age. He has no intention of letting the members of his body be overthrown.
Right, no. If you're dependent on him, then you're a member of his body. If you depend on him, and then you're blessed, because he blesses those that realize their need for him, or that depend on him for everything. So you depend that his word is right, and so you do it, and therefore he blesses you. And he blesses you in a multitude of ways. Many people were going to get cancer or leukemia, or their children were going to get killed or something, and he'll come in and intervene and stop it so that that doesn't happen. Many people would have retarded children. And if you are, if you follow the Lord's instructions, your children will not be retarded. He said, blessed will be the fruit of your womb. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
Again, he would never leave his children in the worst era of time without his power in them. Why would he say in the book of Revelation?
But that's his children. Those that depend on him are his children. Remember, those that don't depend on him are not his children. They're none of mine, he says. Then what?
Why would he say in the book of Revelation, quote, he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations?
Yeah, only to those that overcome and keep his word. That constantly overcome means to depend on him for everything. Depend that his word is right, and you just do it whether you get persecuted for it or not. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father, unquote. Revelation chapter 2, verses 26 through 27. And how could we have his power if we were not baptized in the Holy Spirit after we were saved, as the Lord and all the apostles were?
Quote, because he says all those that are baptized with the Holy Spirit will have power. Amen?
Amen.
Ye shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Now, his disciples were filled with the Spirit of God before the day of Pentecost, but then he says, now tarry in Jerusalem until I baptize you with the Holy Spirit. That was after they were filled with the Spirit. Remember, he came in that room where they were hiding, and then he says, receive the Holy Spirit. So he breathed in them, and they were saved. And then he says, now tarry, now go up to Jerusalem and tarry in that upper room. And there was 120 of them. 500 of them saw him ascend into the kingdom of heaven. And it's just amazing that only 120 of them showed up on the day of Pentecost. And they were baptized with the Holy Spirit after they had been saved. So that shows clearly that this is another anointing of the Holy Spirit for the ministry. Okay, let's go.
Quote, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you, unquote. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. We cannot stand in defense of the gospel without him living in us, and we cannot have the promise of God, the power from on high, the Holy Spirit, unless he is living in us.
Right, and he says that he'll give the Holy Spirit to all those that depend on him, that keep his commandments. Well, how is that depending on him? Because you're depending that his word is right. If you need blessings, don't think that you're going to get them for buying them with money. Because, you know, if you could send us $100 billion, then that wouldn't give you any blessings whatsoever if you were living an unrighteous life, if you were not depending on God. You may say, well, I like some of the things that old Tony says, but so I'm just going to send him $1 billion, okay? Well, that's not going to buy you into heaven, okay? I just want to let you know that. Let your $1 billion burn with you. You must be born again of the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
All right, I see that our time is up again. It really gets me uptight when these programs get done so fast. But I always like to offer people to get right with God, to start praying and call on God for salvation. So that's what I'm going to do right now. So all those of you that want to be saved and start depending on the Lord for your salvation and depending on his word that it's true so you can keep it, every single bit of it, well then just say this prayer to God right after me. Repeat it to God with all your heart and soul. Say, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open up the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all of my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me on the cross at Calvary. And I believe that God raised you from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open up the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Your word says that you'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Your word says that all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, and I'm calling upon you, Lord, now for salvation. Therefore, I know you have heard me, and I know you have answered me, and I know I'm saved, and therefore I thank and praise your holy name for saving my soul, Jesus. Now just raise your hands and praise and thank the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Glory to the living God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Write us now and turn on our website if you want to read some more of the literature that I've written and listen to some of the tapes that you may have missed. You can turn on to our website by
AlamoMinistries.com.
Just type that in, AlamoMinistries.com, and you've got it. Or you can write us at
P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505.
All right, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying tune in again tomorrow because we're going to continue on with Beatitudes and instructions from the Holy Word of God. The Word of God that you must be dependent upon in order to enter into the kingdom of heaven. The Word is God, and listen to him. So, God bless you and praise the Lord. Amen.